The word of God given to us today is Luke chapter 6, verses 17 to 26. It is on page 99 of the New Testament in the Korean Bible. Luke chapter 6, verses 17 to 26. Allow me to read the words of God. He went down with them and stood on a level place. A large crowd of his disciples was there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, and from the coastal region around Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by impure spirits were cured, and the people all tried to touch him because power was coming from him and healing them all. Looking at his disciples, he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets." Amen. After Jesus went to the mountains to lift up deep prayers all night long, he chose 12 disciples among many of his followers and called them his apostles. Then he came down the mountain. Let's look at verse 17. He went down with them and stood on a level place. A large crowd of his disciples was there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, and from the coastal region around Tyre and Sidon. While with his 12 chosen disciples and other followers, he stood on a level place. Then he delivered a long message. The scripture from today's verse 17 to the last verse of chapter 6 is referred to as the Sermon on the Plain. This is comparable to the Sermon on the Mount in the Gospel of Matthew chapters 5 to 7. Although the literal meanings of the mountaintop and the plain are totally different, scholars consider these places to be similar places. The Korean Martyrs Memorial Hall in Yongin, which our church looks after, is located 2 kilometers up on a hill from the road. If you look at the memorial hall from below, it looks as if it is on top of a mountain. However, the yard in front of the memorial hall is flat. So if you look at the hall from the mountain, it looks as if the hall is located on a plain. So, where Jesus preached could appear to be a mountain or a plain, depending on where the spectator was located. Moreover, there are similarities and differences between the Sermon on the Mount and the Sermon on the Plain. They are similar because both of them summarize the message from Jesus. The Sermon on the Mount and the Sermon on the Plain were probably not delivered on a single day. If he did deliver them in a day, then it would be difficult to record everything he had said. Jesus repeated his messages for disciples to learn better, and he also told several messages of the same meaning a number of times. In addition, these two messages start with a blessed person and end with a house built on a foundation. On the other hand, the difference between the Sermon on the Mount and the Sermon on the Plain is not only the location, but also the length. The Sermon on the Mount consists of 111 verses from the Gospel of Matthew in chapters 5 to 7, but the Sermon on the Plain is only 33 verses. But other parts of the Sermon on the Mount are also scattered across chapters 11 to 16 in the Gospel of Luke. Also, the Sermon on the Mount starts with 8 Beatitudes, but the Sermon on the Plain starts with 4 blessings and 4 woes. Moreover, the Sermon on the Mount says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven," and describes that the poor will have heaven. On the other hand, the Sermon on the Plain says, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God," which describes that the poor will have the kingdom of God. While both verses have the same meaning, the Gospel of Matthew was written initially with Jewish people as its reader, so it refrains from using the word God. Meanwhile, the Gospel of Luke was written with foreigners in mind as its reader, so it refers to the kingdom of God, which has a clearer meaning than heaven. It is important to note that for Jewish people, when they read the Bible, they don't even pronounce the word God. So when they try to write down the word God, they even take a bath before writing it down. The Sermon on the Mount and the Sermon on the Plain are important because they are messages given to the people God, Christians who follow Jesus. It is not to say that if you believe this message, then one who did not have anything to do with God becomes the child of God, or that unsaved person becomes a Christian. Rather, these messages describe what the life of a Christ follower looks like. Let's look at verse 17 again. "He went down with them and stood on a level place. A large crowd of his disciples was there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, and from the coastal region around Tyre and Sidon." There were three types of people on the plain: Jesus and the 12 disciples, other disciples, and also many people. These many people included people from all over Judea and Jerusalem, covering the entire southern region of Israel, coastal areas of Tyre and Sidon, which were foreigners' region located north of Israel, and port cities of the Mediterranean west of Mount Hermon. The news about Jesus has spread so wide to not only the entire Israel region, but also to the foreigners' region. These people came to Jesus to hear Jesus' message and also be cured of their disease. The most important aspect for these people and for us followers of Christ is the word of the Lord. Then comes healing and other things we need, things we pray for. If this order is switched, then our faith cannot grow or mature, and we cannot become people of the Word. verse 18 says, who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by impure spirits were cured. In ancient times, people thought mentally ill were possessed with demon. So doctors at the time did not hesitate to drill a hole in the head to take out demons. The patient also allowed this to happen, even though there were no painkillers then. To cause trouble, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, in the verse, no bitter root grows up to cause trouble and defile many, has the same meaning as to be in pain. So this verse is saying that these people were freed from their mental despair. In verse 9 it says, and the people all tried to touch him because power was coming from him and healing them all. Jewish religious leaders at the time were looking for any clue to accuse Jesus as they envied him, but people that came from all over the place were trying to put their hands on him. Actually, whether patients can be healed depends entirely on the providence of Jesus. However, as the lady who suffered from bleeding for 12 years was healed after touching Jesus' garment, the patients put all their blind hope in Jesus to be healed. So verse 20 says, looking at his disciples, he said, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Starting from verse 20, the Sermon on the Plain officially begins. When we think of the Sermon on the Mount, we immediately think of the eight Beatitudes. However, the Sermon on the Plain has four blessings and four woes. Today, we will look at the verses about the poor and the rich. In Confucianism, there are five blessings. They are Su, longevity, Bu, wealth, Kangyang, healthy body and comfortable mind, Yuhodak, the love of virtue, and Gojangmyeong, living according to one's will and peaceful death. In Confucianism, it is considered a blessing to have much wealth. But Jesus says, blessed are the poor. About 20 years ago, there was an advertisement that became popular across the country. An actress wearing a red sweater and mittens and white furry hat, scarf, and skirt said from a snowy village in the background, everyone, everyone, become rich for sure. Upon hearing this, people wondered what kind of advertisement this was. But after hearing the male voice actor's comment, we learned what the ad was about. We are a credit card that thinks about your finances. It was an advertisement from a credit card company. At the time, Korea had received the IMF bailout, so our economy was in a tough situation. So, become rich was also a word of hope for the people who started the new millennium. People even changed their New Year's greetings. I hope you become rich instead of Happy New Year. But this was a fantasy. credit delinquents were rapidly mass-produced because credit card companies and other card companies issued credit cards indiscriminately. Credit cards are a convenient tool, but after all, it is a credit transaction. This is because it's a human instinct to be reckless if it looks good right away without thinking about what will happen afterwards. As our proverb says, if you buy on credit, you'll even kill the cow and eat it. Jesus said this in the Sermon on the Mount. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Jesus says, among the poor, those who are poor in spirit is blessed. People often say, I don't have money, but my heart is rich. So we think that if we say our heart is rich, the other person will not look down upon us. But Jesus, on the contrary, says that you can have the kingdom of God only when your heart is poor. In the Analect, one of the books of Confucianism, there's this message in part 7. The master said, with coarse rice to eat, with water to drink, and my bended arm for a pillow, I have still joy in the midst of all these things. Riches and honors acquired by unrighteousness are to me as a floating cloud. This also emphasizes that the fullness of the heart is more important than the fullness of material wealth. If we translate this to a line in a blockbuster movie, it would be, we may not have wealth, but we have cool. Even if they are not rich, they are full at heart. But the Bible is wary of those full of heart. James chapter 5, verse 5 says, you have lived on earth in luxury and self-indulgence. You have fattened yourselves in the day of slaughter. The Lord warned of the unjust wealthy people's wealth accumulation and lives of luxury and pleasure, saying that the fatness of the heart is a greater problem than the fatness of the body. Just as livestock live without knowing the fate of being slaughtered in the slaughterhouse, the rich people fatten themselves as they pursue their immediate interests, living according to their desires, pleasure, and secular values. We have to think deeply about what kind of person Jesus refers to as the poor, who he says is blessed, and the rich, who will have woe. The poor people Jesus is talking about is not just people who have little wealth or low social status. To understand the poor, you have to understand what poor means in the Old Testament. The representative people who were poor in the Old Testament times were orphans, widows, and foreigners. What they have in common is that they are people who do not own land. By tribe and family, God distributed the land to the Israelites, who had fled and settled in Canaan. So people couldn't farm if they didn't get any land distributed in the beginning or had lost their land. So special measures were needed. God even made a law for these people. In Deuteronomy chapter 24, verses 19 and 22, when you are harvesting in your field and you overlook a sheaf, do not go back to get it. Leave it for the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow, so that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. When you beat the olives from your trees, do not go over the branches a second time. Leave what remains for the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow. When you harvest the grapes in your vineyard, do not go over the vines again. Leave what remains for the foreigner, the fatherless, and the widow. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt. That is why I command you to do this. When the Israelites were farmed and harvested, were farming and harvesting, they were not allowed to pick up the grain that had been spilled in the field. Also, even if they had overlooked the sheaf, they had to leave it alone. A sheaf refers to a bunch, or about 2 liters in volume. The Lord also taught them to leave the corner of the field without cutting it during harvest. At the time, rabbis defined the field corner as 1/60th of the total area of the field. In Korea, about 300 kilograms of rice is harvested in about 200 pyeong of rice. So it is similar to leaving about 5 kilograms of rice to be uncut so that anyone in need can take them. If you look at the book of Ruth, you can see the scene clearly. Naomi and Ruth from Moab had no field to farm, so they picked up grain from Boaz's field and farmed it. The fallen and uncut grains were God's protection and consideration for the poor. Therefore, a poor person refers to a person who lifts up his eyes and puts their hope and purpose in God, and one who confesses that he cannot live without God's help and protection. To these poor people, Jesus promised the kingdom of God. In general, there are 3 main elements that consist a country: territory, people, and sovereignty. When people refer to a country, the concept of territory and people are the primary component. For example, if you think of China, it's the largest country in Asia and the most populous country in the world. And when you think of the United States, you think of the richest country in the world, with huge land in North America. Of course, you may also think of Alaska, full of ice, and Hawaii, located 3,700 kilometers away from the mainland. However, among territories, people, and sovereignty, the most important aspect that forms a country is sovereignty. In 1936, Son Ki-jung and Nam Song-yong of Korea won gold and bronze medals in the Berlin Olympic Marathon, but at the time, they had a Japanese flag on their chest, not a Korean flag. At the time, the Republic of Korea had territory and people, but they couldn't wear the Korean flag because Korea did not have sovereignty. So if you have territory and people, but don't have sovereignty, you do not have a country. You have a colony. At the time, our country was officially a Japanese colony, not a state. The kingdom of God in the Bible is almost also mostly regarding the concept of sovereignty. In the Lord's Prayer, we also say, "Your kingdom come." Kingdom refers to the territory ruled by a king or queen. The United States of America goes as far as where President Biden's sovereignty matters. The Republic of Korea is, of course, where the orders of President Yoon Suk-yeol are delivered. Therefore, the U.S. Embassy in Jongno, Seoul is located in the U.S., even if it is on South Korean soil, and the U.S. Embassy in Washington, D.C. is located in South Korea, even if it is on American soil. This is because the U.S. Embassy in Korea is under the orders of the U.S. President, and the U.S. Embassy in the Korean Embassy in the U.S. is ordered by the South Korean President. Jesus promised the poor the kingdom of God. How can the Lord not govern the life of a person who confesses their incompetence and confesses, "Lord, I only look up to God and I cannot live without your help and guidance"? Moreover, Jesus also told the rich the following in verse 24. "But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort." If so, it becomes clear what kind of person Jesus refers to as the rich person. Rich people do not just refer to those who have a lot of wealth, much education, or high social status. They are those who do not hope for God, but place hope in themselves or in what they have, and those who consider themselves responsible for their lives, not seeking God's protection. For these people, Jesus says, "You have already been comforted." In other words, for these people, there is no space for God to enter and rule because all areas of their lives and their hearts are full of themselves and their own, and they are not willing to accept God's rule and guidance. This is because the word comforted also means to receive a receipt. So Jesus is saying that these people have already been paid for in terms of what they wanted to receive. Jesus walking with his disciples on a path when someone raced to him and asked in Mark chapter 10, verse 17, "Good teacher," he asked, "what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus answered him, "You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." Then he told Jesus that he abided by all those commandments well since he was young. Then Jesus told him, "One thing you lack," he said, "go and sell everything you have and live to the poor and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." He replied as the following to Jesus' message. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. As a conclusion, Jesus said, "It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." This event appears in all synoptic gospels. According to them, he was a young man, an official of Judah, and was wealthy. Thus he had youth, authority, and wealth. But because of these things, he could not be under the sovereignty of God. In contrast to the rich young man, the Bible testifies the following about Abraham, the ancestor of faith, in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 to 10. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as an inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. The Bible testifies that Abraham lived in the tent with his son Isaac and his grandson Jacob. The reason is that he looked towards a city with a strong foundation to be designed and built by God, the kingdom of God. Abraham was very rich. When Abraham's nephew Lot lived in Sodom, a war broke out among the four kings of northern Canaan and the five kings of southern Canaan. The four northern kings who won the war plundered Lot and all his property. At the time, Abraham took 318 soldiers who had been raised in his house to rescue Lot, his nephew who lived in Sodom in the south, when Lot was captured by the king of Sodom, along with his wealth. How big would a house need to be to feed, dress, and put 318 soldiers to sleep at home? Also, how much would it cost to train them and pay them? I don't know if Abraham actually lived in a tent, but he believed that life on this land was not eternal, that God's prepared place was better than where he had lived, and that he had to trust God more than himself or what he had. Now, 2,000 years since then, we have no idea who was the one who trusted his youth, his position, or property, and couldn't follow Jesus. But Abraham, who trusted only God, still stands as the ancestor of faith to us 4,000 years later. This is the difference between the truly poor and the rich. Let us all be truly blessed, the poor. Whether we have much or little, whether we enjoy great or small, may we lift up our eyes to God and enjoy the kingdom of God in our lives as we are fully governed by God. Anyone born in a particular country's land or a child of its people can become that nation's citizen, but the rich who do not fully acknowledge God's sovereignty, or those who believe in themselves or what they enjoy, cannot enjoy the kingdom of God. Even if they are born hundreds or thousands of times, but when we become poor in spirit and faithful channels of the Lord's rule, the kingdom of God will expand and the word of the Lord will prove clearly to be the word of truth and life. Let us pray. Father God, we like to judge and evaluate according to the worldly values. So we want to hear, hope you become rich, or try to pursue those dreams. However, may we not forget that we need to be poor if we want our lives to be under the sovereignty of God, the kingdom of God. Especially may we not forget that our hearts have to be poor in spirit. Regardless of how much God granted to us, whatever He granted to us, may we not look at what we have, but lift up our eyes to God. Moreover, regardless of what God granted us and how much He granted us, may we not take them as our purpose of life, and rather take God and the Word of Life, Word of God, as our purpose in life. May we not fall into foolishness of believing that what we have will make us happy and take care of the rest of our lives. May we not forget that nothing in this world can truly comfort us. We do not want to forget that the true comfort comes only from above. We hope that as we become the poor, the blessed people, we become channels of the Lord, cultivating the kingdom of God in this world, dominated by materialism and worldly values. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.